Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. And truly, what a happening place it has been in the last few days. We had the glorious, vibrant and rejuvenating World Youth Festival from July 12th to 14th, 2016. I was so hungry and eager to capture as much as I can of this landmark, even to document the divine ecstasy of so many brilliant and bright young minds, youngsters who, in spite of so many attractions in the world outside, have so assiduously and wisely chosen to make Swami the center of their lives. And just to listen to them was not just joy, but such a revelation. Every time you listen to one of them, you feel so small, you are so humbled with their love for Bhagwan, with the extent to which they can go to see the smile on his face, and how much they longed to be part of this event, how much they longed to be with him, and how much they are relishing every second in Prashantinilam. The previous week, on Outside Inside Deep Inside, I brought you one conversation with three youngsters, and you know what? Time was too little to really capture even a fraction of this energy and beauty, this divine vitality. However, by His grace, we were able to get at least a few slices of this continuing saga of Sai Love. And what I'm going to play for you today is the first part of a conversation that I had with Brother Venkat Reddy, who is a doctor, his wife, Sister Shamla, a chartered accountant, and another younger sister, Sister Shruti from Australia. All three of them are part of a beautiful experiment which started more than 10 years ago. They call themselves members of the Love at Work team. Well, what is this Love at Work concept? How are they different from anyone else? How did it start and what is so exciting about it? So that is what we will explore today in this last leg of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai. But just a note before I begin playing for you the first part of this conversation. We recorded this on July 17, 2016, and we had to do it late in the night because all of them were so busy and studio also was so occupied. We actually started the recording around 10 o'clock in the night. And Brother Venkat and Sister Shamla, they have a little daughter, Sai Saraswati, very sweet child. And they had to bring her along also. And even as, you know, we were in this conversation, the little one used to tug at her father's shirt or pull her mother's dress. And so there were some moments when, you know, she inadvertently also allowed her voice to come into the recording. So here and there, if you are hearing some little voices and little sweet sounds, so those are not noises, but the sweet sounds left for us by Sai Saraswati. So even as you enjoy the conversation, if there are those sounds, please relish them too. That was Bhagwan's blessing. That was Saraswati blessing us. So dear listeners, let's begin. I will play for you, as I mentioned, the first part of this more than 2 hour long conversation, which definitely has left an indelible impression in my heart.
To Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai Ram and welcome Brother Venkat Reddy, Sister Shamla and Sister Shruti to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside.
Sai Ram, thank you Brother Rishi.
So this just concluded the World Youth Fest. It was such a beautiful and I would like to say beatific experience for so many youth coming from different corners of the world. And everyone recharging, revitalizing their connection to Swami, and also experiencing the bliss of being in Prashanti Nilayam and being with so many like-minded brothers and sisters. Prashanti was probably a vibrant heaven of love, isn't it?
Agreed.
Yeah. And thanks to the event, we also became aware of so many interesting and inspiring initiatives by youth across the planet. And thanks to, again, this beautiful event, we in Radio Sai came to know of you, Brother Venkat, and your initiative, your experiments with love, and your amazing Love at Work idea, and which has now become Love at Work International, and then it has branched off into many other little projects, and each trying to take Bhagwan deep into us and make him a part of our lives. So I thought, when I heard what you have been doing and what you've been attempting to do and, you know, trying to do with a little group, these little ideas, I thought this is something that we really need to share with the world, because we don't know who will get inspired by what idea and what that will lead them to in trying to connect with Bhagwan. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason why I requested you to be here. And I'm really grateful to Bhagwan that he has arranged this, and not only are you here, but also we have Sister Shamala, your partner in this exciting journey, and also Sister Shruti, who has been an enthusiastic participant and happy beneficiary of these experiments with our spirit. So let's get started. So Brother Venkat, since this program is outside, inside, deep inside, can I ask you, so how and when the outside Sai became inside Sai, and then became the Sai who got deep embedded within you, deep inside you?
It was back in 2006 when we were here with the Sai Youth Australia pilgrimage, and we had the blessing of having a wonderful interview with Swami. And in that time, you know, there were a lot of beautiful things that happened in that interview, but it was a life changer for me. Mm-hmm. People talk about game changers, but it was a life changer for me. Mm-hmm. And sitting at his divine lotus feet, looking up at him, holding his hand, and it was just the most magnificent experience I've ever had. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was just in the moment, just there with Swami. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. And I went back to Australia after all of that. And I felt absolutely bereft. I missed that physical Swami so much. You know, I found it very difficult to actually even concentrate on my work.
Oh, okay.
On the one hand, I was feeling this separation from Swami. And on the other hand, I had a very challenging job that I had come back to.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I was missing the outside Swami. You're talking about outside, inside.
Yes.
Deep inside, the outside Swami, that physical entity, I was missing very badly, very acutely, very painfully, and it was affecting my work. So one day, not long after I returned, I gave this challenge to Swami in my heart. Now, so this is the Swami that is inside, the Swami that's not in Prashanti Nilayam, but the one that is in my heart listening to my thoughts and my concerns. And I said, Swami, if I can't be with you there in Prashanti Nilayam, then you have to be with me here. Because without you here in my heart with me, I won't be able to manage. I won't be able to function.
He had really captured your heart so much that you were just not able to live a moment without him.
That's right, Bishu. It was very difficult. And I'm sure a lot of people have gone through that. And, you know, one look from him and one moment with him is enough to absolutely send you into another realm. So that feeling, it was actually very real. So I said to Swami, you know, if I can't be with you, then you must be with me. Show me how. How can I actually do that? Because I don't want to be left. I don't want moments to pass without that connection with you. So by divine inspiration, there is no other way to describe it, I got three or four ideas in quick succession in my mind, and they came fully formed, and that's how I know that they weren't anything that I had devised or my mind had devised, because they were crystal clear, they were fully formed, and they made sense. When I looked at it objectively, it actually made sense. And the first idea was to take a simple action, do it repeatedly, a simple action that would remind me of Swami.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working in a hospital in Brisbane at the time, and for me that simple action was, I would see a number of patients in the day, that simple action was to think that every single patient is Swami.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I was missing that physical form, so I thought, a physical form is walking through the door to come and see me. That must be Swami. So that was the first step, if you like. And at the end of the day, I would go and write a letter to Swami, a self-audit or a self-reflection on how sincerely I had been thinking of him or trying to connect to him. Then the third element was of just getting together with other people who were of a like mind and a like heart, who also felt they wanted to bring that outside Swami inside,
mm-hmm.
and just have a satsang, share our ups and downs and our experiences. And the fourth aspect of that was to, I guess, summarize the results of those satsangs, those qualitative results, into a bulletin that we would share with each other. So this was how, 10 years ago now, how, you know, being entranced with this outside Swami, the very same Swami gave this inspiration to take him inside. And then, I guess, with repeated practice and with the help and support of other Lovett workers, it is becoming more and more deep outside, inside, and deeper inside.
Hmm. And so when you started this, initially it was just you doing this experiment.
Yes, I did this experiment on myself.
Hmm.
The idea had come in my mind. I was in the clinic. I just decided to run with it. You know, a drowning man will reach for anything.
Mm.
And I was drowning in the pain of separation. Mm. So when these ideas came, I reached for them immediately and I grabbed onto them. And I was very avidly practicing them. I was very sincerely practicing. I would write down the name of every patient I'd seen and assess myself as to whether I had genuinely tried to treat and greet that patient as if they were Swami. You know, so I really just dived into it and hung on to each of these steps. And then after some time, I thought, you know, the feeling I was getting was very positive, was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I could actually feel the presence of that Swami in my heart. That outside Swami was now inside in my heart. I felt very good. And you know, like if you have something nice, say if you get a flavor of ice cream, a new flavor that you've tried and it blows your mind, you want to share it with other people. So I shared it with a few other close people, you know, such as my wife Shamla and a couple of other youth who we were close to at the time. And they started doing the same experiment.
Mm-hmm.
They got similar results. We do not do these things for results, but the feeling they were getting was of the presence of Swami in their heart, of feeling some kind of balance in this mad world that we were living in, busy world, you know, deadlines and all sorts of issues. So when we, as a small cohort of 3 or 4, we realized that, yes, we might be onto something. This is something really quite beautiful. Then we expanded and discussed with more of our fellow Sai youth, and they were also beginning to practice it. And then it went from there.
When you started practicing it, was there any one or two particular instance which really thrilled you? I mean, you never expected that it would turn out this way, or was it a gradual sort of feeling of happiness and a feeling of calmness and the joy that you said? Or were there any particular instance which sort of convinced you, yes, this is something I got to do. I mean, this is something which is really going to help me balance myself, help me experience the joy of Swami in my life?
Bishu, I've got to say that the effect was instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps Swami had designed it like that because he knows my mind. He knows that if it was a patient long struggle, perhaps I might give up.
Mm.
You know, so he dangled the carrot of his immediate presence in my heart straight away.
Mm.
It wasn't even a dangling carrot. It was a real carrot that I could taste, as it were. And I can remember one of the instances, for example, I used to have the Gayatri Mantra playing on my computer just to create the right atmosphere for me. And I set the volume at such a level that only I could hear it. I guess it's like, you know, dog whistle, the frequency that only they can perceive.
Mm.
This was at a volume that only I could perceive. So when I sat right in front of the computer, then only I could hear it very, very, very low volume so that the patients wouldn't be able to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Because patients were of all sorts of, you know, males and females, Christians, Hindus, all sorts of backgrounds. And I didn't know if they would understand what was being played. So I was doing the Gayatri to create that atmosphere, create a nice, clean clinic room for Swami to come into. And I called this particular lady, who happened to be an elderly Indian lady, in this clinic in Brisbane. And we had a language barrier. She only spoke Gujarati.
Okay.
And her husband was translating. He could speak English. So I saw her and I treated, in my mind, I thought, Swami, you are coming to my clinic and let me give you the best possible service. So I sat her down and we started talking about what her issues were. And then, you know, it transpired that she would require some treatment and that this was the first of many consultations, etc. So having said this, I left the room. I said I had to step out for some reason. And I left out of the back door of the clinic room. And when I came back a couple of minutes later, this lady had a big smile on her face. And I said to her, you know, Mother, you seem to be very happy. What's happened? I asked through her husband. And she said, you know, she called me son, which is a beautiful thing when patients take you as if you're their own. You know? And she said, son, you know, when I came here, I was very worried about my health. And she said, the way that you greeted me and sat me down, and she said, when you stepped out of the room, I could hear something playing in your computer. It's the Gayatri Mantra, isn't it? And I said, yes, it is. And she said, listening to that and being here in this room, I feel a lot of confidence and I feel that I will be okay, that everything will be fine. And then she actually blessed me, which was another very beautiful thing.
Wow.
So that was very early on in my practice of love at work, Bishu, and it gave me the feeling that when I call Swami, that he does respond. That was a very small example for me that his response is actually immediate, and it made me think that this is something worth continuing with, whether I get that response from patients or not, but it's worth continuing with. It's a good thing to do.
It's not always that you got that a positive response from
the
patients.
A lot of the times nothing would happen. And still nothing happens externally.
Yes.
So the patient may not bless me. The patient may not say good things and give me lots of, you know, praise or anything like that. The patient may not even smile at me. The patient may be even going to the other extreme, may even be negative or angry or upset. But to me, I take that more as a challenge, you know, to put more love on them.
Yes.
Probably my effort was not sincere enough.
Okay.
You know, so I try to be even more compassionate, even more understanding, even more patient with the patients. So the response from the patients is irrespective of what I'm doing inside, the conversation I'm having with the Swami inside me. That goes on regardless, and it is the same conversation. Swami, you have come to my clinic. Swami, you have given me an opportunity to serve you. Swami, you are in me and you are in this patient. You are serving yourself. Please let the best happen. Please let goodness pervade in this consultation.
Yeah. So if something good happens, then you attribute it to this experiment of seeing Swami in the other person. If something does not happen very pleasant, even then you only think that maybe I was not up to it completely, or maybe there is something more that I need to do.
That's right. I take both reactions, both extremes of reactions as grace. If it's a positive reaction or response from the patient, I feel happy. And if it's not, I still feel happy because I feel that, I feel, Swami, you're playing with me now, you know? You're trying to see if I will be patient with you, if I can elevate or raise my level of care for you. So I think of it as just a fun interaction with Swami. So the negative reaction, really, most of the time, I'd be lying if I said it didn't upset me at times if there was a very strong reaction. But most of the time, it's just part of the game of interacting with Swami, you know, and part of the joy of it as well, you know.
Wow. The reason I asked you this is, it can happen that, you know, you inspire someone to take this idea into their lives and they try to do something of this nature and nothing happens. They do it twice or thrice and nothing happens and they feel, I mean, you don't get any motivation to go forward. How was it for you, Shruti, when you started to practice Love at Work?
Yeah, so I think prior to Love at Work, I'd often do sadhana in the morning, my morning prayers, and then again in the evening. But during the day, there was very little intentional thought of Swami, and he was kind of missing, you know. In the morning and the night, I'd connect, but he was often lacking during my working day. And we spend most of our day, you know, studying or working or doing what we're doing. And so it was so critical and so important for me to have Swami there, but he was lacking. So I think what Love at Work did for me was provide a structure or a system by which I would actually bring Swami into my day and be able to monitor that and reflect on that, without which he may never have come and stayed. And I think just that intention to bring him, coupled with the structure, coupled with a community of people that would support and inspire and motivate me, transformed my working day completely. So when I started, I was a student at the time, and so one of the first actions I did was just offering my lecture to Swami, reminding myself this lecture is Swami and giving him my undivided attention. And even just in that action, I just took so much more out of my class. I didn't get distracted as much. I didn't talk to my peers as much. And the amount I was able to learn was so much more. But I was able to enjoy that and really appreciate what I was learning. So simple actions like that, doing Namasmarana when I was walking between my classes, just practicing gratitude for what I was learning, just one, connected me to Swami, brought so much joy, but also helped my grades improve. And so that was a really beautiful experience, which then continued to evolve as I began to work and so forth.
So when you went into work, how did it pay off?
So in a few ways. So, I mean, one of the first experiences I had when I was working was a couple of weeks into my first job. I was on a project and given a very, very challenging manager, and we all face difficult people in our life. And this manager was known to be a very self-critical, a very micromanager, someone that no one wanted to work for. And so I went into this project with a lot of nervousness and anxiety and you know, asking Swami, why are you doing this to me? It's my first job. And I remember coming to Love at Work and sharing this with all the others. And immediately I was given so much support, saying, oh, you could put light on them and do meditation. You could do this, you could do this, you could do this. And so taking inspiration from the other Love at Workers, I firstly realized, you know, this manager is just a reflection of myself, and I'm not having any loving thoughts toward him. And the first thing I need to do is at least try to love him. And so I began in my morning meditation, seeing this manager in the light and putting light and love on him. I began to smile and to compliment, to ignore the gossip from my colleagues and doing what I could. And I think it would have taken, you know, 4 or 5 months. It wasn't an overnight thing, but over time, my manager began to change. And I noticed what I once saw as this overly critical guy who found flaws in all my work, that I began to realize he just really cared about the client. And he actually was practicing karma yoga in a very beautiful way. He wanted perfection, you know? He wanted such beautiful attention to detail. And I began to really appreciate and love this manager. And I think that was just credit to the Love at Work community and trying to love him. And as a result of my change in mindset, my work was better. I was happier. My interactions with my manager improved, and I really, really enjoyed myself more than anything. So I think that, again, is just credit to the system and this community.
You know, the experiences that you had, Shruti, and I think you might recall from our Love at Work meetings at the time, there were other students who also took the approach or similar approach to Shruti of, you know, bringing Swami into their studying day, as it were. And I remember one Love at Worker offering or surrendering every step of his assignment, not just, you know, every question, but every step. He was an engineering student. And so, you know, in this problem solving, I guess there'd be a number of steps. So at the end of every step, he would pause and dedicate that to Swami. And at the end of the assignment, he would place that assignment at Swami's divine lotus feet in his room or in his altar. And so for him, it was that kind of small print. It was that intense. And I remember when I was studying for my exams as well, I would stop at every hour. I'd set the alarm and write a line of Om Sai Ram at the end of every hour. So I think, you know, in studies, it can be very useful, as Shruti shared, with lectures, with assignments, with studying for exams. Another example, there have been so many stories of people who are able to overcome difficulties that are, I guess, in some way attributed to a difficult manager or a difficult colleague. And one of the Love at Workers, who is now in Canada, he shared this story over some weeks and months. And that's the other important thing to remember, I think, is that things might not change immediately. Although I have shared an experience of, you know, instant result, things may not have results immediately. And I remember this one Love at Worker who had a difficult manager. who would be very critical of his work and to try to find little, you know, mistakes in any work that he did, and would be, you know, in interpersonal relationship would be, you know, very condescending and so on. And he, all he did was he would write, I love you, Saima, in his little diary, which was in his desk. He never did anything directly with the manager. He would just keep doing this, and he kept putting light on him in his own mind and his own heart. So this is his secret plan, if you like, to just have peace of mind within himself, as you mentioned, outside, inside. So inside, he just wanted to have that peace. And over months, this manager actually began to be more pleasant towards this particular Lovett worker, to the extent where he nominated him for Employee of the Month, and this particular young man got that award. And the beauty of this was that we followed the story, because every week he would come and tell us, and we would try to support each other in the Lovett Work meetings. And so we followed the story with him. We were almost with him in his office.
Wow.
And for him one day to turn up to this meeting and say, you know, you guys wouldn't believe what's just happened. I've been nominated for Employee of the Month. And we said, what? By the same manager that's been antagonizing you for this many, for many months? Absolutely. So that is the power of Swami's love, that it can work instantly, or sometimes it can take a bit longer, but it always delivers. It always delivers for us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that with time, it becomes so concrete, isn't it, that it always delivers. Even if sometimes the results don't come in the short term, once you get into it, you never get disheartened, right?
Absolutely. And I look back and I wonder, how did I not do Namasmarana, you know, 10 years ago? How did I even live or manage without it? And I think overnight you can't see the results. But if I look at the kind of person I was 5 or 10 years ago, I can say just because of Swami's love and grace and something like love at work, my whole mindset, mentality, approach, everything is transformed. And that's just Swami. Yeah.
And I think that really is the key, isn't it, Shruti, that we've shared some stories about the impact on other people. But really, it's about our own inner state.
Mm.
Even if the world is not praising us and giving us accolades, it's the fact that these practices give us peace inside.
Mm.
And we wonder, how was it that we were not doing it? How were we getting by?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Amazing. So I think once you start seeing Swami in your boss, seeing start Swami in the members of your family, then you don't miss Swami at all.
Mm.
That's a very good point. I think nothing will be able to replace the physical form. In terms of creation, in terms of things that are available in creation, nothing really for me compares to the physical form of Swami. You know, his hair, his hands, his look, his eyes, his fragrance, any of that. However, having these practices which we can use to internally connect with him, it adds a different dimension to our connection with Swami, to the extent where sometimes you can actually feel his hand or the touch of his feet or his fragrance. That has happened to Lovett workers.
Oh, is it?
Where they have actually experienced for a moment that almost physical connection.
Wow.
For example, I mean, I was holding the hand of a patient once.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden the thought struck me that this is exactly how Swami's hand felt. So, you know, the softness which can't be described really, but I had it in my hand again for a brief moment. You mentioned it helps us not miss the physical Swami. This year is the 10th anniversary of Love at Work. It's so for 5 years it was happening before, you know, while Swami was in his physical body, and for the last 5 years since he's not been in his physical body. For me personally, having these Love at Work practices has helped me to come to grips with Swami not being in his physical body. It's helped me because, you know, when I was in Brisbane or wherever I was practicing Love at Work, he was in my heart. So I was connecting with him in my heart. So when he left his body, I was telling myself, you know, you are connecting with him in your heart. What has changed? The only thing that has changed is when you go to Prashanthi Nilayam, you will not see him physically. But most of the time, the overwhelming majority of the time, your connection to him was not in physical darshan or Prashanthi Nilayam. It was through your heart, through a simple practice of, you know, greeting a patient as Swami or taking his name over and over. Yeah. So what's changed? Come on. You know, wake up to yourself, carry on those practices and keep connecting to Him. Nothing has changed.
Amazing. And Sister Shyamala, so when Brother Venkat started his experiments with love, and I think you are the first person with whom he would have shared his new journey. So how was it? Did you immediately think that, yeah, this is something that I should also start doing? And
actually, it was really timely because, like Venkat said, when we were in Prashanthi, I was actually saying a little prayer to Swami. I'd been asked to speak and do an intro to a song that the Australian youth were singing, and I'm not very good at public speaking, and so I was really scared about this. And so as soon as I hopped off the bus, I was asked to do this talk, and so I sat in darshan and I would just speak to Swami and just say, oh, can you please just give me the words, you know, and over and over. And finally these words came to me that, you know, from the very moment that we awaken, Swami's just waiting for us, and He's there saying, I'm here with you. Can you not feel me? Mm-hmm. Can you not feel my presence? Just embrace me, embrace me. And I'd say, beloved Swami, we're responding to your call. We will embrace you by seeing you and serving you in every person that comes into our life. We'll embrace you by seeing you and serving you in each other, for we are but embodiments of your divine love, Swami, and we love you. And so every darshan, I would just keep saying this over and over. And then when we got to the, Swami called us into the interview room, and someone asked him, you know, what is your mission for us, Swami? Mm-hmm. And he looked up with his soft eyes and just said, I just want your love, love, love. He said, love and serve everyone, rich or poor. Just love and serve. So, you know, for me, it was just like him repeating back what those words that he put into my mind that I was saying every darshan. And so when we got back to Brisbane, I was working as group accounting manager for a listed renewable energy company, and I was in the middle of financial year end. So things were really busy, really hectic. And I just felt like I didn't have Swami in my heart. I felt this real emptiness, you know, and I actually felt myself getting annoyed and irritated by people around me. And I felt like Swami was thinking, you know, where is that love that was promised? It wasn't there. So when Venkat actually told me this idea, I started to do Namasmarana, just stop my work because it was so hectic. I'd get in there early in the morning, I'd leave late at night, and the auditors were there. So everything was bugging me. So what I do is every hour I just stop and write one line of Om Sai Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stop doing this over and over. And, you know, sometimes just, it's amazing because as soon as I started doing this, just sometimes like the presence of Swami would be so strong as I'd write. Mm-hmm. And I could really like feel Him. It was almost tangible. And sometimes tears would come into my eyes and someone would come into the room and boy, they would get a lot of love, you know. And so, and what it did was it transformed my day because usually I'd, you know, go home feeling drained and, you know, not very happy, but I just go home feeling energized for the next day. And it was just a lot easier to interact with people as well and not be irritated, you know. So those are just those small things. But then there were so many more miracles that happened from it, actually.
Yeah.
So 6 months later, I'm still in the same role, and I was driving to work, and I was being put on this leadership program, and it's like a self-development program, and I was meant to meet with the coordinator to talk about what I had been doing in terms of my self-development and attaining my goals. And I was talking to Swami in the car on the way to work saying, you know, Swami, all I've been doing is love at work, and I can't really speak to Him about this. And I got to work and I dedicated my day to Swami. And I told Him, you know, you are the doer. Let me help me to see your hands in whatever I'm doing. And then I started doing my Namasmarana. This time I was just saying it internally. And the first thing I just started to then after that think about all the work that was ahead of me. And again, it was half year reporting. And I was thinking, I just recruited this girl 6 months ago, and she's really moving on to financial accountant, and she's really helping me with my work. And I thought, oh, I might promote her, and, you know, I'm so glad she's here. And she walks through my door and she says, oh, Shyamala, my husband's got this opportunity to work overseas, so I'm going to have to hand in my resignation.
Oh.
And I'm giving you a few weeks notice only. I'm sorry. And so my initial reaction was, oh, I'm happy for you. But then as she left the room, I just, my heart began to sink, you know, as I thought, I looked at my desk, it's a mess. I was thinking, oh my God, there is so much work to do and she's leaving me at this crucial time. And then I stopped and I thought, okay, but Swami's the doer. And I started to do my, you know, I just told him that he was the doer. So I started to do my Namasmarana. And my desk was a mess, and underneath it all, I could see a little brown package, and it was sent to me by this leadership program that I was on, and they'd often send you books on, you know, development, and I sort of was just saying, my Namasmarana saying, oh, look, I'm just going to do Love at Work, Swami, and you're going to take care of it because you are the doer. Om Sai Krishna, Om Sai Krishna. And I looked down, and I suddenly saw this brown package. I opened it up. And I'm saying, oh, yep, if I do Love at Work, you'll take care of it. Om Sai Krishna. And as I opened it up, I see it's a book by the Australian Institute of Management. And the title of that book just brought tears to my eyes because it was called Love at Work.
Oh,
written oh my God. Love with a little at, like we write, and work, just like that.
You know, the interesting thing, Bishu, is that... you know, we thought we'd come up with a very cool title for our little program, Love at Work. And, you know, in the era of emails and everything, we put that at sign in the middle. So we made up a little logo. We thought we were very cool. And then Shamla came home and told me this story. And it was as if, you know, someone had stolen our logo. But the beauty of it was that completely unrelated events intersecting on Shamla's desk.
Wow.
And the beautiful thing is, you know, like Swami, he never does something just for one person alone. So not only did he, you know, reassure me that, yes, he was a doer and he is taking care of things, that it was his hand in this, but he then also, quite a few of us were doing the program at this time, and so it sort of reassured us that, yes, this is the sadhana that he wanted us to do. This was how we were to respond to his call for love.
Yeah. It was, you know, the other beautiful thing that you said, Shamla, was about doing Namasmaranam, of doing Om Sai Krishna, and Shruti also mentioned earlier. You know, our experience, that's a Love at Work action that a lot of Love at Workers do, whether they write, like Likhita Japam, at the end of every hour, say, or say it in their mind. But what we have found is that that simple action is very, very potent. You talked about outside, inside, deep inside, that when this practice or this calling of his name happens inside, then we have, a number of us have experienced his presence in our heart very strongly, very immediately at times, even if you start out doing it without any feeling or invoking images of him or, you know, doing that smaranam part, just the namam part brings the experience of his presence in our hearts quite strongly. And that's been a really beautiful experience or part of Love at Work that we've shared.
Yeah.
In fact, the name is so important because on one occasion when Bhagwan was talking to Hislop, and, you know, so Hislop's sir was asking, Swami, can our karma be wiped out? You know, when we... do we really have to go through everything? And, you know, so Swami says, yeah, karma can be easily be wiped out with divine grace. It's not as if, you know, you have to experience the consequences of your actions in the past. All it needs is just divine grace and everything can be nullified. And Swami says, divine grace is also not that difficult to attain. All one needs to do is to chant the name.
That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? He makes it so simple.
So simple.
Like, I know now, like, I'm a full-time mum, and so I don't have the time to sit and do my meditation in the mornings or anything, but the one thing that I can do is do Namasmarana. And so I often do it, like, when I'm cutting vegetables or... And even that, like, you can... he actually comes, you can actually feel his presence just simply by saying Om Sai Krishna as you're cutting the vegetables. And sometimes tears would come to my eyes, and it's not because I'm cutting onions or anything. It's just because, you know, like that feeling of Swami is so strong. It just overpowers you, and that's how beautiful he is. It doesn't take much. He's just waiting for us to call.
Yeah. Wow, you know, as you mentioned about cutting vegetables, I reminded of Bhagavan's discourse where he himself gives this example and says how you can divinize every single aspect of your daily work and daily chores and daily routine. And Swami used to say that, you know, when you're sweeping the house or mopping the house, think that, you know, you're cleaning any dirt from your minds or your heart. When you're cutting the vegetables, think that you're cutting the ego.
Yes.
You know, today I was actually at home, you know, removing the outer coverings of the onions.
Yes.
And, you know, even I was imagining that, you know, I had my mom with something.
And he also says that, you know, when you're rolling chapatis, that you're broadening your mind.
Yeah.
So, in other words, every sort of household chore, and I like all these examples to do with food because I love food, but every household chore can be used to connect to him and to improve ourselves.
Yes.
You know, get rid of bad qualities. So, if household chores can be used like that, surely actions at work it can be used with the same effect. You know, why can't we use the workplace to improve ourselves spiritually, to, you know, diminish our bad qualities, to become more understanding towards people, to put love on people, to be more efficient, you know, to work better, to offer our work as worship?
Actually, see the benefits of it at various levels, isn't it? I mean, it not only makes you a person who's less agitated and, you know, less tired. Because as you mentioned, you know, you feel energetic even after you're seeing three patients. I just came into the office and three patients and all three complicated cases. And, you know, at the end of 2.5 hours, you're like tired. But if you all the time thought that I'm serving Swami, then you don't feel tired, isn't it?
You know, that's a very good point, Vishu. And that's been the experience of a number of Love at Workers over the years, that in connecting to Swami, even if it is something as simple, actually, especially if it is something as simple as calling his name over and over, whether it is a track that's running in your mind or you're pausing it every hour and writing it down, but just calling his name over and over, our experience has been that we have a lot of byproducts. One of those byproducts, as you mentioned, is energy, feeling that yes, you can still work. You can still be productive. Although your mind might be telling you, look, it's been 12 hours, it's been 14 hours, you know, you haven't eaten this and that. But you feel as if you can go on. You feel energized. And Shruti was talking about working at the exhibition, and when we are at Prashanthi Nilayam here, we might do different projects. We do have very little sleep. And we are doing things with Swami in our mind. So we feel energized even if we don't have too much sleep. So similarly, you know, when we're outside Prashanthi Nilayam in our workplaces, but we're intensely thinking of him, you know, constantly thinking of him and working at the same time, trying to offer those things to him, we get that energy. So the feeling of energy is no different whether you're working an exhibition in Prashanthi Nilayam or doing, you know, a so-called secular job out there, but taking his name. So we found a lot of benefits like this accruing to us, which we hadn't bargained on. Our intent was to connect to Swami. What we found is we were getting more energized. We were becoming more productive. We were better time managers. We were keeping our workplace neat and tidy. We were becoming more professional. Our interpersonal skills and how we spoke to people were better. How we functioned in teams was improving. Completely unforeseen, but very welcome and happy byproducts for the simple act of connecting to Swami.
Wow.
The other one I found a lot is the ability to stay calm under pressure.
Yes.
And my previous role, we had lots of deadlines, lots of pressure, demanding managers, and just by thinking of Swami and calling him, that in itself gave me such perspective and a strange confidence, knowing despite how much everyone gives me, Swami's with me, he's holding my hand. I used to actually keep a spare empty chair beside my table and visualize Swami in the chair and go, Swami's literally sitting beside me, so how can I be affected by anything? Nothing really matters. My Swami's with me. And just by calling his name, I was able to stay so calm. And people used to ask me, why aren't you stressed? Like, why aren't you worried? You know, we've got this big deadline. And you're like, God, we'll get it done, you know? And I've got this beautiful Swami with me because of the calling of his name. So I think with him and bringing him into our day, we can really get through anything.
I think
there was another Love at Worker who had the similar Love at Work action of positing Swami in her meetings. And she was a social worker. and very difficult circumstances that they were working in. They were working with, she was working with youth who were a challenging entity. And on top of that, you know, all the requirements of the organization that she was working in, they used to have lots of meetings. And she used to always imagine Swami sitting in the empty chair in every one of those meetings. And quite humorously, you know, every now and then she would break into laughter. And people would wonder what's on her mind? Why is she laughing or smiling so broadly and looking so happy while very, you know, serious things are being discussed? And she couldn't, of course, tell them that she was imagining Swami sitting in the chair and that she was having this conversation with Swami and even having jokes with him and so on. And that helped her not only get through those tense meetings and those difficult situations, but it gave her a lot of joy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So using the power of our imagination to bring Swami into our meetings and into our workplace can have some really nice side effects like this.
Yeah. And I think Shruti mentioned self-confidence, that I think is something that he gives you with the name, because I've found in situations where I've been asked to do things that is outside and beyond my experience. So I was asked to do some things on business continuity and risk management, which really isn't my area. And I had no idea where to start. And so the only thing I started with was his name and just calling him. And then just slowly things, I suddenly spoke to someone and he managed to point me in the right direction. Resources came my way. And then I was able to suddenly design a whole workshop for like the entire company, which was around New Zealand, located all around New Zealand. And I rolled it out to all the managers there. So it's just, and all that was just calling his name and had nothing to do with my experience or what I'd, you know, been able to do, because that, with just, when I called him, he gave me what I needed. So it's almost like that, you know, where Swami talks about that little light, like all you can see is just in a little bit in front of you, and he gives you just this much and this much, and then all of a sudden you're at that end point.
Wow. It doesn't mean that we start doing love at work and all of a sudden we become these angels and, you know, we have auras around us or anything like that. We are trying, and we are trying to do sincerely connect to Swami, think of him.
Yes.
So we still have challenges. But what I've found in my own, with my own experience, is that regularly connecting to Swami during the day and then reflecting to him, self-audit in the evening, every night, and then, you know, sharing my ups and downs with my fellow love at workers at the end of the week. Over time, it gives you mentioned self-confidence. It gives you a sense of calm as well, so that when the big things hit you, and sometimes, you know, big things hit us in life. We try to be good people. We do all the good things, the right things, you know. But we still get hit.
Yes.
Based on our karma that is due to us. But what I have found is that doing these things, these love at work practices, actually just allows me to stand a bit firmer when certain cyclones, the karmic cyclones hit.
Yes.
And also, if I get toppled for some reason, if my tree gets felled, then I'm finding it over time, I'm able to pick myself up better and move on.
Wow.
So it's really helped me in those ways, you know, in over the long term. Yes.
Amazing. Two thoughts that come to mind, you know, when you're sharing about increased self-confidence or increased energy levels or increased efficiency, better productivity. You know, the way I think about it is, you know, earlier you were always trying to connect to a limited resource, your own abilities
or your own
the
skills
knowledge and the skill of your partner or your coworker or your manager. So all the time you were trying to solve your problems and your own weaknesses and augmenting it with your own skills or the skills of other people who are still limited repositories of strength and skill and energy. But now when you're doing this, having Swami in every act, you are connecting to something which is unlimited.
Amazing.
And that is the reason why you are energetic. That is the reason why you have so much confidence, because you're connecting to something which is infinite.
Yes.
We are connecting to the super reservoir of energy.
And the interesting thing about that, Bishu, is that, you know, when we are connecting to Swami, we are not thinking, oh, you are the super reservoir of energy.
I know.
You are the infinite consciousness. You know, if I connect to you, I shall have access to the unlimited, you know, megawatts of cosmic energy, which will be brought to bear, you know, through my fingertips at this, you know, that kind of, that superhero kind of fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
All we are doing is, we know a little bit, of this entity called Bhagavan Shri Satyasai Baba.
Yes.
I don't think we can ever fathom, ever, no matter what we do, what Swami is.
Mm.
Whatever little we know of him, we want to connect to that little bit.
Yes.
You know, that conceptualization of Swami, how he looked, how he sounds, you know, what his words are, his messages are. So we try to connect to that, that little bit that we have access to. So we connect to that, and all of a sudden, it's like this door opens.
Absolutely.
And this beautiful presence of Swami comes.
Mm.
Now, I wanted to share a couple of little experiences of other Lovett workers which are pertinent to this this particular point. One of the Lovett workers is an engineer, and still is, actually. And his Lovett work action was to converse constantly with Swami in his heart, in his mind. So whatever he was doing, he would just tell Swami, okay, Swami, I'm writing this this program, or I'm doing this project, or I'm writing this report. Every sort of step of it, he would tell Swami in his mind. And what he shared was that he found solutions which were seemingly intractable, he could find solutions for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they weren't, when he looked at himself, sort of himself doing this, he thought, I couldn't have come up with that.
Mm-hmm.
In another example, an IT professional, his love at work action was to write Om Sai Ram at the end of every hour. And he found sitting in front of a computer screen, he says he just kind of lost a packet of a little quantum of time. What happened, he doesn't know. But when he came to, he saw the code that he had been working on, the solution to that code, you know, IT talk, was in the screen in front of him. And that absolutely stunned him, because he doesn't remember actually, you know, writing that bit. So these are two small examples of, you connect to the Swami, the little Swami that you know, a little bit of the Swami you know, and all of a sudden big things start to happen.
Miracles happen, yeah.
Amazing things.
Miracles are happening all the time, but sometimes they are so obvious that you just cannot not notice.
You can't ignore them.
And that's the other beautiful thing with this is that every night we self-reflect, and what it allows us to do is, like you say, you just, there's so many miracles happening in the day that if you're asleep, you just, you know, you won't even notice.
Yes,
and so what this allows you to do is actually, you know, I write to Swami and just tell him all the wonderful things that he's actually made happen in that day.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that brings to your awareness about so many beautiful ways he has actually carried you and his arm all through the day. And you never
absolutely
really realize.
You know, it's such a shame, isn't it, when he is surrounding us with so many beautiful things, so many beautiful people, just magical things are happening, and we are not conscious of it. I think it's such a shame. I think, you know, this kind of indifference almost, it's even worse than, I think it's a really terrible thing, this indifference to the magic of him around us. And every evening when we just sit quietly for 10 minutes and just one-to-one talk to him and tell him back, Swami, this is how you came to me today. This is how you showed yourself to me. Swami, you know, how could I have missed you in this particular moment? You know, okay, anyway, tomorrow is another day, Swami. I shall not miss you tomorrow. You know, I'll be on my guard.
Amazing. I think that is the reason why Swami stressed so much on gratitude. Swami said, if, you know, if you're walking and if your handkerchief falls down, someone lifts it up and, you know, you say thank you. But here is someone, if you're able to breathe, it is because of him. If your food is getting digested, it is because of him, you know. So at so many levels, at the atomic level to the atmic level, at every sphere he's there in some way making things happen for you, and you just don't even, you know, take a second to say gratitude.
Absolutely. And, you know, we might, the thing about the handkerchief example, Bishu, is that when that handkerchief falls, we respond with gratitude. That's an episodic thing. You know, every once in a while a handkerchief will fall. But the things that we're surrounded with throughout the day are constant. So it's really important, I think, for us to pause and take stock of all the beautiful things that are put in nature for us, that are put in society for us, for our benefit, you know. We didn't put those things there.
Exactly.
They were put there for us.
Yes.
And one person put that.
Yes.
You know, that was God. He put that there. So, you know, the handkerchief might be once in a while, but all of these things that are always there, it's nice to think about them, Yeah.
The other thing love at work has done for me as well, I think, so the self-reflection has been probably one of the most crucial parts for me in terms of making sure each day is better than the one before and I connect more. It's one thing, I think, to appreciate and thank Swami for the beautiful things, but I found love at work has helped me say thank you, Swami, for this challenging conversation. Thank you, Swami, for the pain I felt. Thank you, Swami, for challenging me and pushing me, because from that I'm calling you and growing more.
Yes.
And I think I'm so grateful for those challenges, because that's when I feel him the most and call him the most. Mm. And to have that mindset, I think, is just a result, again, of his grace and this love at work as well.
Mm.
But, you know, as we discuss this, I have a question. You know, as you said, you know, if, for example, you're writing an exam, as you said, you know, so we pause every half an hour and then just do namasmarana for 1 minute. Mm. Or if you're seeing a patient, maybe you'll see one patient and then, you know, take a break and do namasmarana. But when you do those moments of namasmarana, you feel so happy. You feel so good, you know. So it can come to a stage where, you know, you just feel like doing namasmarana, you know.
Yeah.
Why do I have to, you know, do this? Almost becomes like the work is a hindrance. You know, I want to do namasmarana. So my question is, what is the limit to the intensity of this experience? What is the limit to how intensely we should feel Swami? Will a time come when you feel, I'm so intensely thinking about Swami that I'm not able to do my work?
That's a really good question, Bishu. And I will offer something of my experience. And then I'm sure Shyamala and Shruti have also got, you know, insights on that. The thing with namasmaranam is that I'm finding there's no limit to it. And I'm only scratching the surface. There are still huge tracts of time in which I don't take his name. Those tracts could be a few minutes, but that's minutes too long. I have read other great souls and teachers saying that, you know, you take his name, and then when you come to do your work, you pause and you do the work. And then when the mind is idle again, you take up his name again.
Okay.
I have actually found myself that it's a bit like, you know, say for example, you know, your car is going at speed, and you suddenly slam on the brakes. There's very few cars that'll stop, absolute dead stop, the second your foot hits the brake. There will be some braking distance.
Yes.
Okay. So I find actually it's difficult to stop the namasmaranam when I pick up the work again. Mm-hmm. So for a while I used to try to stop it, put the brake on and say, okay Swami, I'm going to now do this work. That didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my brakes were a bit faulty. I don't know. So I thought, okay, this isn't working for me. I'm actually trying to stop something that's giving me a lot of perspective, peace of mind, and connecting me to Swami. So I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to carry on doing it. So my work involves, you know, interacting with people. So as I'm talking to the person, I can keep saying Om Sai Ram in my mind. In fact, I find it more beneficial because in a moment during that conversation, I might forget that Swami is in that person.
Mm-hmm.
If I have said this is work now, and I'm going to switch off the japam track, and I'm going to just concentrate on the work, my mind might actually forget that Swami is there sitting in front of me. Whereas I find if I keep saying Om Sai Ram, then it makes it easier to remember that Swami is sitting in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
The key thing for me is not to force. Not to say, okay, I've got to stop it now and concentrate on the work.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've got to keep doing it when I'm talking to a person.
Mm-hmm.
No. The natural tendency of the mind after some time and the heart after some time of taking his name is to try to take it more and more often. So I think it's a nice thing. Why would I stop it? It hasn't stopped me from doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I stop it? So to answer your question briefly, I feel that we are scratching the surface only of japam, of connecting to Swami through japam.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the limit? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I personally think there is no limit.
Mm-hmm.
The limit only he will decide when you absolutely dissolve in him and the sense of, you know, who you are doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
That is what his grace will bring up to him.
Mm-hmm.
For me now, I think it's just to keep doing japam as much as I can, as much as I can. As soon as the mind remembers, just latch onto his name. Perhaps the sisters have got...
It's almost like the station is on and the music is all the time on. It's just that, you know, sometimes the volume is reduced because you're just occupied with something. But that has never stopped. It's on all the time. Because something else has come, so it's sort of low in volume, but after the work is over, it is back to its normal volume. The way I'm visualizing what you're saying.
I think that's true. I'll share one other experience of increasing the volume. There was one time I was on call, and we went to a film festival. And Shamla and I were at this film festival. Okay. And I knew I shouldn't have been at the film festival. I should have just sat home and waited for the call to come, you know, if I had to go to work in the middle of the night. So I thought, no, the risk is very low of me getting called tonight. It's okay, we'll go to the film festival. So went to the film festival. And all of a sudden, as soon as the movie started, my phone rang and I had to go, you know, go back to work.
Okay.
And I was told by the person at the other end that there's a particular doctor who was calling for me to come. And the name of this doctor, just hearing that he was the one, you know, in the operating theater, calling for me, just sent shivers down my spine because I respected this man so much and almost feared him.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got in the car and I was driving to the hospital, I was doing japam like my life depended on it. You know, so the volume went up. The frequency went up as well. You know, I was just, you know, we were talking the other day about the different intonations and the nuances of the word sidearm and what they, the meaning that they impart. And so this was sheer desperation, Om Sai Ram. That's what it was, pure and simple. I drove all the way to the hospital and I was desperately calling to Swami, Swami, please spare me the wrath of this man because I've taken so long to get to the hospital. When I got there, the man didn't say anything to me. He didn't say anything to me. And we just carried on, you know, working. And then during the break, I went and made him a nice cup of coffee because I thought it might, you know, pacify him a little bit, although he hadn't expressed any antagonism towards me at all. So he enjoyed the coffee, so it was a really good coffee. And then very quietly he said to me, he said, next time when you're on call, try to be on time when you are called. Yeah. That's all. Very calmly, very sweetly, he said this to me. So yes, the track goes on all the time, or hopefully, you know, we try to keep the track going all the time. Sometimes the volume goes up depending on the circumstance when you're drowning.
So dear listeners, we will continue this conversation of beautiful experiments with love, making love a very real part of our life and living. There are many more stories shared by Brother Venkat Reddy, his wife, Sister Shamla, and Sai Shruti, the enthusiastic member of the Love at Work team. And we will continue this conversation next week. I'm sure it was useful to you. I'm sure it gave you some insights, some inspiration. Ultimately, this is the only option we have. We don't have any other option. We have to make love a part of our lives and eventually become love. Let's pray to Bhagwan that he gives us that understanding, that impetus, and that inspiration to walk on this path with enthusiasm and energy. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for being with us all through the day. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. On behalf of all of us at Radio Sai, I offer our humble salutations Bhagwan's lotus feet for this beautiful opportunity to share his love with each one of you. As I take leave, I also thank each one of you for your time, for your interest, and for all the beautiful feedback that you keep sending us. You keep writing to listener@radiosai.org. Each one of them is very inspirational. Each one of them is a message from Bhagwan to us, whether it is a praise or whether it is a feedback on the negative side. I think everything is a positive feedback. No feedback is negative. Every feedback only makes us to think more and see how we can better ourselves in delivering his message and sharing his love. Thank you so very much. And as I sign off, at 10 p.m., you will continue to listen to a drama presented by devotees from Russian-speaking countries. This was presented in front of Bhagwan on 13th July 2010. So stay tuned. Thank you so much and sadam.